Hello, this is Laura Onizuka, and I am the Ambassador Chair with DanceWire in Portland, Oregon. I am here with Kenya Marquez. It's January 2nd, 2020, and we're going to talk about her life and career in dance as part of our Artist Stories series with DanceWire's ambassadors. So welcome, Kenya.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Okay, so can you give me an overview of your current titles?
My current titles, I am the founder and artistic director of Ballet Papalotl, that means butterfly in Aztec. Mm-hmm. And I am also doctor in psychology. I have other titles, CDC, like certified addiction and drug counselor, etc. But I think, again, some people say that I'm a diva. and I work as a school counselor in Portland Public Schools. And I'm always looking for adventures everywhere in the world. So I think like an adventurous dancer and with a background in psychology.
Wow, muchas cosas.
Sí.
When did you start dancing?
My first memory that I have is when I was in elementary school, first grade, and we were going to do a dance for the mothers, because you know in Mexico we always celebrate mothers and teachers. We always have parties for everything. So I remember that I was waiting with my partner to dance for a dance of the north, you know, like a polka, Mexican polka. And we were waiting forever with the music in the same position. That was a little tiring. And then suddenly I look at the people and it was like, I swear, hundreds of people. It was a big, big school. So then I realized that I was dancing. That is the first memory that I have. Mm. But my mom says when I was 3 years old, you know, we were going to Acapulco, you know, beautiful beach. And they said that when they were playing the song Tiburón, the Tiburón, Tiburón, she said that I was dancing when I was a baby.
Oh, so that I don't remember.
But she said that every time that I was hearing that song, I was dancing. And my mom is a dancer, so I think I was dancing when I was in her belly.
Ah, so where are you from originally?
I was born in Mexico City, and all my parents and grandparents has heritage from different regions of Mexico, and also from Armenia. The mom of my dad was from Armenia, so I also do another, you know, kind of dances, Middle East dances, and I did my ADN, you know, my ADN, and it. Because my grandpa was, you know, blonde, blue eyes, and other people was, like, very dark. So I didn't know where I was really from. And then in my ADN, it's, of course, Native American, that is, you know, Mexican. And then Spanish, and also Irish. And Scotland.
Wow.
That I don't even know where do I have it. And also I have from other countries like Greece or Italy. They are not sure. Mm. And from Africa, 2%. From the slaves, from the region where they brought the slaves from Mexico. And 1% of Pacific Island.
So that's a lot.
But my heart, I think, is Mexican. Yeah. But yeah, I have a lot of influence.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so tell me then, what has dance meant to you in your life, or what does it mean to you today?
That was a question that I was, you know, I was thinking, it's like the dance is the shadow of my life, but then I was thinking, no, I really think that even if I have a career, you know, a professional career, I think I have been the shadow of the dancer. And something that has been really complicated is that sometimes my dancer personality dreams things. For example, no, we're going to have a troupe and we're going to dance in waterfront in front of the river of the Cinco de Mayo, and then my brain says, how are you going to do that? So then it's like my dancer supposedly shadow, but I think it's my entity, forced me to do things. So I think it has been guiding my life the whole time, my whole life. Because even if I was kind of pushed to go to school because my dad was saying, no, you have to be a professional. Your mom was a dancer, but I'm an engineer, so you have to be, you know, do your life like a professional academic person. But I was always following every afternoon or every night, every weekend, I was always doing dance. And also my mom is a dancer from the fine arts school. So then it was like part of our life. It was normal for me to go to school and then have to do some kind of dance or music. Mm-hmm. So it has been always with me. And when I went to France to study, I couldn't live without dancing. That's when I start to dance Mexican. Because the ballet academies, they told me, you're too old, you're 23, so you cannot dance anymore. But I think I could. So then I became Mexican dancer a little by accident, by destiny maybe. And then when I came to live and work in Portland, I was going to work and then coming home. And then I was unhappy. I was winning weight. So I was sad. So then I said, I need to do something. I started to look for Mexican groups. I couldn't find one that was, you know, like good quality. So I made my group. So this was all like strange, but that's how I became what I am now. Like the founder and artistic director of Ballet Papalotl, but also a dancer.
Mm. So when you say you started the Mexican dancing in France when you were 23, do you mean kind of in a professional sense? Because when you were dancing your whole life, what type of dancing was that you were doing as a young girl?
I was doing mostly ballet in the fine art school because my mom was taking me and I remember that. My mom took me to do the test, you know, because you have to do like auditions. So they do psychoneurological, like stretching, like anatomy. And I remember my mom took the three of my two sisters and me. So then they were giving the results, and she's a folkloric Mexican dancer. So then when they give her my results, she was crying. So then I was like, Mom, you know, I felt so sad because I said, Mom, what did I do? Did I flunk? And she said, no, you qualify for ballet.
Oh.
And then she was crying. But I said, why you cry? She said, because I wanted to be a folkloric dancer because always the, you know, ballet is harder, but they are like more pretentious. So I want you to be a folkloric dancer. So I was feeling like I disappoint her. But my two sisters qualified for folkloric dance, so they were doing it. But I just pursued the ballet, and then I was doing also other dances, other styles, no? Like, it's called street dance. It's like mambo, the real cha-cha-cha, danzón, and all dances that were like, well, we call it street, no? But dance as a salon. It's like something elegant, but here
with
it's
a partner.
With a partner usually, and then I was also doing Tai Chi, then I started to do Oriental dance, Middle East. But I was mostly for ballet, and sometimes I was doing jazz and other modern dances. But yeah, until I went to France, I was like limited and forced to study what I could in the Casa de Mexico in France, in the Cité Universitaire de France. They had a group that was very known and famous. So I just went to do some kind of dance and exercise and be close to my culture because I went to do my PhD there. But then little by little, I was so nervous that I didn't recognize the right and the left. But then I remember like 2 years later, my professor, my teacher that was like excellent dancer, he said, okay, I need you to go with the troupe to a, you know, big, it was like a festival. And he said, we're going to be there for 2 weeks, dancing 6 times a day. Wow. And at the end, we're going to finish a parade. So I was like, Ruben, I cannot do that. I'm not so good. No, you are. No, I am like, no, I'm like beginner. No, you're very good. That's why I'm inviting you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you're kidding. You must not have someone else. That's why you are telling me. No, I need you to go. I want you to go. So then I, in that day, I think in that trip, we were dancing 6 times a day for 1 hour. The first day, I started to bleed, you know, for the shoes. And then I was putting band-aids. And then the band-aids were full of blood. Oh, and wow. Then I couldn't heal because one show after the other. So then the second day, we just, he told me, put a special band-aid that is like a rubber band, pretty soft, and it has like analgesic, so you don't feel anything. So then I repair my foot, and then we danced for 2 weeks, like 6 times. I knew everything like super by heart. I realized that I could do much more what I was thinking. You know, the experience to be, you know, with a big troupe and the mariachis behind playing alive all the time and everybody super clapping, and especially the people, you know, when you are a foreign people, when you are not, you know, like native of that country, usually they are not so open to you. But then I saw that they were at the beginning looking at us like, you know, like not so nicely. But then you can see physically that they were going close to the stage. Mm. And then when we finished the show, we were going, you know, to the fair. And the people were saying, why you have those skirts? Why you are tapping with the shoes? Why you yell when you do this dance? And then you are so quiet, you don't even smile when you're doing that dance. Mm. So then I realized that the people needed more explanation, but they were physically close to us. And even, you know, they start to move their heads and, you know, clapping. So then I was like, oh my God, this is a passport for the hearts of other people. Mm. So I think professional, I think I just became. And then it was a girl that was mostly dancer with the teacher. She was super good. And then she got pregnant. So then I didn't even think that I was going to be called, you know, to feel for her. And yeah, my teacher was saying, okay, you are the next one. And I mean, what? So it was incredible. So it was really beautiful, you know, that experience, even, you know, for the self-esteem.
Right.
For sounds many like things. I couldn't even imagine that I could do that. So here, you know, being the director, doing what he was doing. Because I was always, you know, dancing and then going away, having fun. And my poor teacher, the director, he was doing everything. And now I had to do that. But the good thing is sometimes I was looking and I was like, hey, he has not eaten. We should bring food for him. Hey, do you want water? Do you need help? So in that way, sometimes that happened to me. So I'm like, oh, thank you.
Because
the destiny is giving me other helpers too.
Well, that just, what you're saying, just that shows how powerful it is when somebody else believes in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows us to believe in ourselves. It sounds like he was influential for you in that way.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when I tell the kids, do this. No, I cannot do it. What do you mean you can't? In Ballet Papalotto, we never say, I can't. We always say, let me try.
Mm-hmm.
Or give me a break and I will try again. Mm-hmm. And we do it. And sometimes the kid says, no, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. Kids or, you know, the young people, the old people, they said, I cannot do that. And I said, I know you can. But sometimes, you know, it's in, I know they can do it. I know because, you know, they do something similar.
Right.
But sometimes I just say, I know you can do it. I know you can.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I said, I hope.
Oh, yeah, I really hope they can.
I hope they can do it because we need, you know, for a performance. And they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they remember, it was a beautiful thing. I told them, look, this dance is very complicated. So I think we are not going to, you know, I'm not going to teach to everybody, just to certain people because it's very complicated. As for Veracruz, has a lot of tapping and it's very, you know, with a synchronicity, it has to be exact. And it was very complicated. And everybody says, no, we want to learn it. Yeah, but I don't think everybody can do it. I said, but I'm going to teach you to see, you know, what happened. But honestly, only half of you maximum are going to dance. Well, everybody, little kids and everybody learned the dance because they really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I discovered a lot of things that are beyond the psychology, beyond the culture. They are, You know, dance, it's a beautiful universe that you cannot imagine. You can imagine, you are a dancer.
Well, talk to me more about the teaching and what other surprises or challenges or lessons have you learned as a teacher of dance?
The first challenge that I had in Europe, it's the costumes. We could not go to the store and buy the costumes, but we had to buy similar things, for example, for, you know, flamenco shoes for Mexican dance, but it's different because sometimes you do steps that has to be in your heel, and you have to stay in your heel, so we were breaking the flamenco shoes that are not special for that, and the Mexican shoes are, you know, made in a way that you can do that. We had to also get, you know, huaraches, that is, you know, special sandals for, like, the more native dances. We have to have boots, special boots that were from European influence. And we had to have white, black, red shoes for the costume China Poblana. That is a special costume from Mexico. So it was really, really hard to get all those costumes, not just for the materials, but also because they were very expensive, and sometimes you have to go to the regions to get them. Like, you know, we have a fan here that you will see the picture later. For example, this is from the north of Mexico. It's from Nayarit. And this is made, you can hear, it's made of corn leaves.
Corn husk.
And everything is made in palm tree, handmade, and the stick to get it is like a bamboo stick. So there are things that you cannot just go and buy in a store.
Mm-hmm. They're artisan items from a specific location.
Specific location, exactly. Yeah. So it was very, very it was sometimes very sad to know that we knew one dance, but we didn't have the costume.
So you couldn't actually do that dance.
So then, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, let's do it with, you know, a flower skirt and white blouse and flowers in the head, like everybody, like Frida Kahlo style, like Coco style. But I couldn't do that because I was always, every day hearing my mom, because, you know, she went to the fine art school. So then when she was watching, you know, dances, she was saying, that is a good tapping. Those are the shoes that we should use. That is not the hairpiece. Mm-hmm. It should be different. It should be with, instead of roses, it should be carnations, white and red, because it has the influence of the African immigrants that were brought, you know, to Mexico. So then I didn't think, but I learned a lot every day from my mom, because she was all the time talking about the costumes, the accessories, like everything. So then when we were in France, also my teacher was very exigent. We had a beautiful, you know, a lot of costumes that the wife of a president had donated, and also the state. So we have like the best of the best. So we did costume fashion shows, we did dances. So it was really hard. If I had to get my shoes for start dancing, and I was like in France, how do I get the shoes? Well, from Mexico. And I was like, you know how much it costs, said shoes from Mexico. So it has been a challenge there and here. Here is a little less, but it's still super hard. You can see another, you know, another groups, but we are like, I'm very proud to have the best group in costumes. Even the Consulate of Mexico and a lot of associations ask us for costumes because we have the more original, you know, a costume. I had to save for 2 years to buy a $2,000 costume, only the costume. We need the earrings and the necklace that were like another like $400, the hairpiece. So all those costumes are jewelry, and that is also linked with our identity because, you know, at the beginning when I was asking the kids for the interviews, we were practicing a little bit, you know, for TV or newspaper. And when I was asking, so if they ask where are these dances from, where are you from? And the kids, sometimes they were saying like, Mexico? And I was like, why you say that? Why you lower your head? We are from Mexico. Yeah, but, you know, some people doesn't like Mexicans, and, you know, it this link with politics. with politics, so it's not always accepted. So then when they start to learn about our culture, our customs that are jewelry, you know, it's like you wear the jewelry. It's super beautiful. The costume's handmade, embroidered, and with silk. Years later, like 2 years later, when I was with the same, you know, with the same group, and I was asking, okay, so then if they ask where do we come from, what are we going to say? And they were, you know, with a face all proud, and they were saying, we're from Mexico. And I was like, why did you change? No, and they didn't change. Well, they learned. They saw how valuable are our customs, that our dances represent something. They really had got the value of being a native or have blood from Mexico, because they were more knowledgeable of, you know, the steps that are different in each region. That they, for example, in a region, Veracruz, we couldn't use drums because we were going to be killed by the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, because they were saying the drums are, you know, like sin, you know, pecado. So you cannot use drums because the Aztecs use drums, so we don't want you to be, you know, native. And also the drums were from the slaves from Africa, so they said, it's not allowed to wear drums. To use drums. So then they developed dances like that you tap a lot. So then we were having the drums with the tapping of the shoes. So it's, you know, when you know all those beauties.
Yeah, they learned about their culture and history.
Yeah, now we're free to dance. Imagine there are moments that you cannot, that you were not allowed to dance. So it was, you know, it's history, it's heritage, it's a lot of things, this special dance that it's known as folklorico, but is folk. We need to learn that in this interview, because folk is the German word for people. So when you say folkloric dance, it could be Russian, it could be like Greek, whatever. But here it's not as folklorico, but we dance. We are the Mexican folkloric ballet. So that ballet is a French word, but the folkloric means from the people. So for example, danzón, that is another style that came from Cuba, but the Mexicans like took it, like, and they develop it, and now you can see it in every plaza every weekend dancing. That is also a folkloric dance from Cuba. So we dance Mexican folkloric dance. No folklorico.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like when you're teaching dance, you're teaching the dance steps, and how do the costumes and accessories fit in, and what's the history behind this?
The first thing, even some kids, they were saying like, when are we going to dance? Because the first thing is, I said, for example, we're going to learn, for example, iguana. So I said, what is an iguana, no? And I showed, you know, the picture, because I'm visual too. So then that's what I, and you know, it helped me a lot with my teaching, because I need it. So then they learn it very well. I teach, you know, how is an iguana. I tell them, remember that we have iguanas in, depending on the different regions of Mexico, that the iguanas are different. So we're going to dance the iguana from Guerrero. Where is Guerrero? So then I bring my map from Mexico, a little map that I have. So then I show, this is Guerrero. So it's, what do you see? And they say, oh, there are sea and mountains. So what do you think that, how are the dances? If this is a dance close to the beach, they couldn't, you know, tap. So then how come they are doing zapateado and footwork? So then they were putting the boats, you know, backwards.
Upside down.
Yeah, that's why you have to dance in a little area. So then I teach them. So then I said, okay, we dance with a paliacate that here they call bandana, but it's a paliacate that was used for the working people and has even Aztec heritage. But I said, this paliacate, you have to move it. And this is, I explained how is the costume, and I showed them. And I passed them, and I learned that in teaching in a school. They said they have to explore the things, so then when they have to use them, they are not like trying to go do something instead of dancing. So then I passed the costume. So then they touch it, And sometimes the kids said, it smells like palm or something, no? Mm-hmm. So then they know the costume, they know the region, then they listen the music without dancing. Mm-hmm. So then after listening the music, we say, okay, do they have drums? Do they have harp? Do they have, for example, guitarra? It depends, because you know everybody thinks that all the Mexican song has guitarra, but no. Most of them, they don't even have chords, some of them. So then when they know that, I said, okay, I'm going to show you. This is a story of an iguana that is going to, and the girl is afraid. So then the iguana is going to be rolling, the iguana is the boy, and pulling the skirt of the girl. You have to be careful because they can really pull your skirt because it's a fabric enredo with a belt. So then they can really take out your skirt.
Oh, it's a wrap
skirt. Yeah. Enredo, yeah. So then I dance it. So then they are like, whoa, you know, like all like, I want to do it, you know, like really
you
motivated.
Get excited.
Yeah, sometimes I show videos because, you know, video is a new thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of new because my teachers didn't pass videos. We just danced it. Mm-hmm. So then sometimes I pass videos, but that is like sometimes. And then I said, okay, now, are you ready to learn that? And yeah, they are really eager. Okay, but all that process, you know, is like 25 minutes mm-hmm. just for starting. Mm-hmm. And then every time that I put the song, I say, okay, this is the iguana. This is from, and they have to say Guerrero, because sometimes there are other iguanas from other regions. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we dance what we have available. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, mm-hmm. we're not going to dance the horse dance. If they didn't have horses in that region, no? Mm-hmm. That's why it's super important to respect the costumes mm-hmm. because they have special flowers and special materials from the region. Mm-hmm. So then that is the process to learn a dance. And then I show the basics and then we start little by little. So it's a little complicated, but it's very different because in other groups, they show you a dance, so it's like a performance, you know, like, for me, it's like aerobics, mm-hmm. but they don't know. And this, you know, in this way, when we go and we're going to dance, they can explain, this is the iguana, this is from mm-hmm. Guerrero, the costumes are like this, so it's like, for me, honestly, go to a performance of Ballet Papalotl is usually a shower of culture. Mm-hmm. And
education.
Yeah, and with colors and I tell them, for example, there are other dances that you have to be, you know, you cannot smile because it's a sad dance, you know, that is related to the dead or to the hope that the loved one is going to come back. And flower, there are other dances that are, for example, for honoring the earth. Mm. So then you have to be quiet, you have the hands crossed, like the four elements, you know, like the all the beliefs of the Indian, the native people. So then you have to be with your head down. And then at the end, for example, you put your left hand, because it's the closest to the heart, in the ground. Mm. So say thank you to the earth. So all those dances from different regions, they are not the touristic ones. I really feel happy that my mom and my dad gave me that heritage mm-hmm. to value the our origins, our story, our roots. And I didn't know that my dad, being an engineer, was going to be a very important part of this career mm-hmm. because we were always traveling with, you know, different regions, and he was saying, I'm going to take you to the market because that is where, you know, it's like a museum. It's a live museum. So we were eating the things from the country, you know, from the region, and looking all the artisanie, the costumes, and it was usually dance. Mm. So I didn't know that I was having a workshop that lasts for many, many years.
Yeah, that's what a rich upbringing.
From the culture.
And how nice that you're able to impart that knowledge and share it and pass that on to the kids here who aren't living in Portland.
It's one thing for the people, you know, I'm in Portland, but some people, you know, from Tiger, from Hillsboro, mm-hmm. from like very far come from my, you know, from my classes because they said this is special. This is, they learn about Mexico identity. The classes usually are in mixed Spanish and English, so then everybody can be included. Because also we have not just Mexican people. Mm-hmm. We have like a lot of people that wants to do, like we have had very good students, mixed American, born in America, but mixed German with Italian. Mm. And moms and parents from different regions. Sometimes I said, for example, okay, we're going to dance regions from Oaxaca this month. So then they said, oh, I'm from Oaxaca. I can tell you more. And honestly, I said, please tell me, because you are from that region. Mm-hmm. I travel usually, and then I see, you know, the costumes, the music. I try to take everything, you know, like try to, I ask, please, soul and mind, remember everything, colors and sounds and everything. But they were living there. And sometimes they tell us about the regions, and it's, you know, amazing. Here in Portland, I came to discover many Mexicos, you know, Mexico and sub-Mexico and sub-sub-Mexico, because in Mexico, I was living in Mexico City. Mm. So honestly, we were like civilized, you know, all standard in the city, like, you know, like New York. But then here, you have people from many regions of Mexico. So, you know, they bring their food that is very... In Mexico, we are like adjusted and average. In Mexico City, that is super rich. We have like many things, but... I never knew, you know, I never knew how to plant cempasúchil, you know, marigold. And when I came, they said, oh, yeah, there are like male and female marigold. Mm-hmm. You have to do it in May, so then you have it in October. So I was like, what? I have never knew that. And I learned it here from the parents mm-hmm. and the people. That's what I said, that I am... director. I'm not like the boss, but I'm coordinating. Mm. And we try to do everything like in community. So it's also it's a very beautiful adventure. Yeah. It's a group, a cultural group.
That sounds...
It's not just a dance group. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, well, let's talk about what stage you are at in your career now.
Mm-hmm. That I don't know, because I was thinking... I have always thinking that I'm a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, when I see the results and I see, you know, interviews, recognition, you know, like, for example, in the Rose Parade, 8 years in a row in international category, having the best native costume.
Mm-hmm.
And the parade that lasts 3.5 hours, modeling and dancing at the same time that you're moving. So we have done so many things that I'm like, I'm not beginner. But I always feel that way. Mm-hmm. Now we are in a stage where we are like jumping to do more things. I got bigger classroom and a special area for the dance, because before my house was like a theater.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a little more separate. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but now we have more physical space to do more things. And because I have more physical space, that even if I don't want to, it's super important. Even if I want to be minimalist, but being a dancer, you cannot really be minimalist in the costumes and all that. Now I, you know, every time that I bring things outside of boxes, I'm like, we're going to do this. So I always have another project.
Mm-hmm.
That is exciting, it's beautiful. And you know, I see the kids sometimes, I always say the kids, but it's like young people is 16, 18, and the younger now is 6 years old. So I always see the light in their eyes when I said, okay, we could do this or this. And because I'm a little theatrical, maybe, you know, excited, and they get excited too. And then, you know, it's like
it's contagious.
Yeah, and I cannot stop. So I'm always, I don't know in which stage I am.
That's okay.
I think sometimes in some areas, of course, advanced. In technique, I think we are the more advanced group. But of course, we have to learn many things, because, you know, Mexico has like many regions. So if we dance, we are the one that dance the most. We dance like 15 states of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see a state, they have different regions.
Mm-hmm.
So we are still learning. Mexico has a very rich folklore from influence from Africa, from Europe, from Germany, even from China.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you do dances that are called chilenas in Chile and in Mexico.
Mm.
And it's so rich that I don't think you can ever learn. And now, you know, with some people that is saying, oh, this is a new style of X. I always try to stay in the native, in the original, but I, you know, we sometimes develop some things, but it's a story that I don't think it's starting. It's already advanced after 17 years of teaching here, and after a lot of years dancing, since I was 6 years old, that I remember. But it's still, it's always an adventure. I don't know which stage. I think I'm on the stage of continual evolution. Mm-hmm. The dance studio is called Olin. Olin is now a word for movement. Mm. Movement. It means more things, but it is always something moving some project. So I don't know which stage.
Well,
I don't know.
Thank you. Okay. So do you have any kind of artist statement or any long-term vision?
Long-term vision. I think I wish I leave a lot of seeds. I think I have created like two generations of dancers. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, sometimes we cannot live from the dance. But I know when they see me, you know, because they have kids or they went to college, when they see us dances, you can see that sometimes they are happy and then, you know, they feel a little sad because they are not there in the stage. Mm-hmm. So I hope that the seeds continue. Even one dancer that started 17 years ago, she said, I want to take my kids to your classes.
Oh, nice.
So just continue the adventure. And I hope everybody values what is the Mexican culture that is very rich. Of course, is the one that I know the most. There are other cultures that also I love, you know, when you see the dances. The dance for me is the story of the people, you know, how they relate, how they talk. You know, they are dances that are more like, how do you say, like flirting. Mm-hmm. And some dances that we don't even touch the partner. It depends on the region and the historic moment. So I would like everybody to keep knowing the authentic Mexican dances that are not the touristic, we can say. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a lot of groups. Even in Mexico, there are the more famous, but the ones that really share the story of the people, of the towns. It's like, for me, it's like the story in movement, mm. and in colors.
That's
so
beautiful.
just keep knowing the culture. It's really beautiful. It's like Isadora Duncan, the dancer, used to say, like, if I could be able to say you with words, I wouldn't have to dance.
Mm-hmm.
So in some dances is they are already historical. For example, we have a dance from Oaxaca that is called La Tortuga del Arenal, the turtle of, you know, a region. And that is only a dance now because the turtles in that region, they disappear. They mm-hmm. they are extinguished. So we still have that dance. Mm-hmm. So when we dance it, we tell the people, please take care of our world, our earth, our home, because this dance is only a story. It's mm-hmm. not anymore a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But that is like a testimony of what happened. So I hope everybody can be, you know, curious of the Mexican, authentic Mexican dance, and you're invited to join Ballet Papalotl. We always do a little introduction of the dances that we do, because for us it's very important to the people to know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Do you have any anything coming up in the new year that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, the first is it's a very, very, very important celebration for the African American community. And we're really, really proud that this is the third year in a row that they invite us.
Mm.
And they really like us. It's a Martin Luther King celebration. It's for Martin Luther King, for honoring. So they always invite different groups to try to include the community. We have that. We will be, of course, in the
when
Cinco de Mayo. That is the Martin Luther King
Day.
Day.
Oh, okay.
It's always You're invited forever because it was Martin Luther King Day. We will be in the Cinco de Mayo. We'll be in the Junior Parade that we last 2019. Mm-hmm. We won the first place in international category. We're always dancing, you know, in different stage. 15 de septiembre, September 15 is the real independence of Mexico. So if you want to see the real Cinco de Mayo, it's September 15. And we hope to, well, we are always in a lot of multicultural events and festivals that we're really proud because we're bringing to Mexico. And we feel happy because we're really called back. You know, they want us to go back. So I think they value what we're doing. And usually they, you know, when you see all the people attentive, they know that there is explanation dance. So mm-hmm. you know that they are waiting for you, and we never do the same dances. That is a challenge that we have. Mm-hmm. Even the parents says, we spend our life buying costumes. And then the kids grow, they have to buy more costumes. Mm-hmm. The shoes were, you know, they are lost for kids, and then they are crying, they cannot dance. So there is a lot of challenges, but with your support, by clapping, by donating, by being volunteers, you are going to be amazed to be in what I call the universe of Ballet Papalotl.
Mm. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Kenya.
Thank you so much for all your interest. And muchas gracias. Y
muchas gracias.
In Mexico for saying like, go, go. We say, échale.
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 Good. Okay. Yes, let me just make sure.